In 2021, research by the End Child Poverty Coalition showed that over a quarter of children in Reading were living in poverty. That equates to about 10,000 children. And let's face it, over the last couple of years, the situation is hardly likely to have improved. For these children and their families, day-to-day living is hard enough. But what about on Christmas Day? What are the chances of having a present to open when you're barely keeping your neck above water for the rest of the year? This is where Reading Family Aid do their best to step in. This week they're starting their annual toy appeal, asking the people in the town and surrounding district to donate toys which are given to families who would otherwise not have a gift on Christmas Day. You can find out how to do this and also offer your help in other ways via their website, readingfamilyaid.org, and we're going to give you more contact details at the end of this episode and in the show notes. It's 30 years since the organisation became a registered charity, but there are records that show that they've been going since at least the late 1950s. That's thousands and thousands of presents for thousands and thousands of children. I've been speaking to Ruth Perkins, the fundraising manager, and asked her what's changed over the last three decades.
The thing that's changed is the number of children that we donate to has gone up astronomically. I think I started in 2002, I think it was, and I think we used to deal with toys for about 500 or 600 children, and last year we did 3,001 children. So it's just gone up astronomically, and it's gone up almost exponentially over the last few years. It sort of crept up slowly and then got up to about 1,300, 1,500 and stayed around that number for a few years. And then the last few years, it's just gone up and up and up. And the Reading, on the face of it, seems quite an affluent town. There's, the town is buzzing. There's lots of people having coffees and, going to bars and things like that. It's shops are always full and the town centre is busy and things like that. But there are areas of real deprivation in the town, and the difference between those that have and those that have not is growing bigger. And, it's hard to believe when, those of us live a comfortable life. You just can't imagine the kinds of lives that some of these people are living. So so that's changed. So as a result of that, we need a lot more toy donations. We need more volunteers. It's a much bigger operation than when I first got involved.
So that rise in the number of people, your children, you're donating to, is very much linked to the number of people in poverty rather than the success of the organisation, if you like.
Yeah, well, probably a little bit of both. Probably the word has spread a bit more about what we do. I think the difference between last year and the year before, we went from 2,000 to 3,000 in 1 year, which was difficult. And because of, all sorts of reasons, because of the cost of living, the COVID, people's working and behavioural changes and things like that, donations were really down last year. So we had a very difficult situation where we had, significantly less donations, but significantly more children to provide for. So we had to go shopping. We spent a lot of money last year, and we plan to spend quite a bit of money this year to make sure that we have enough. In past years, and before COVID, 2019, we had a really bumper year of donations, which was great because the number have gone up significantly, the number of children have gone up significantly. And we were able to give each child about half a dozen things. But last year, we barely had enough to give each child one thing each. So, it was a very significant the decline in donations as well as the increase in children.
And one can only think that this year is going to be just as tough, and if not tougher.
Yeah, that's what's worrying us. So it's quite a stressful time for us, because until we get all the donations in, we don't really know how much we've got. But at the same time, we have to be delivering some before we've got them all in. We collect all the toy donations and check them all, sort them into different ages and categories and things, and then they're packed up to be delivered. And we do all that process in 1 week. You know, we have the use of a church hall for a week because we don't have any premises of our own. And so, you know, we have to be delivering before we've got all of the toys in. So we can't sort of make an assessment and then say, right, we can, you know, we've got enough. So it's quite an art to it, deciding how many toys to provide. But we're hopefully increasing our publicity. We recruited some new people to join our team, so we're really putting a lot of emphasis on the publicity of the appeal this year to try and get more people donating.
You must have seen some situations over the years that have been quite difficult.
Yes, it can be. We do get to hear about some of the families. We do work mostly through third parties, through social workers and other charities and schools and so on. But we do get to hear about individual families. Sometimes we do deliver to individual families as well. Personally, I've delivered. I remember one time delivering to a house, and I knocked the door and there was no answer, and you've got a sack of toys there to deliver. It's difficult. You don't want to really leave it on the doorstep. And eventually a lady appeared around the corner of the house, sort of looking a bit suspiciously at me, and I think she thought I was a debt collector or something or other. And anyway, when I explained what I was doing there, she just burst into tears, and she said that she was sitting, when I knocked the door, she was sitting inside with her head in her hands, wondering what on earth she was going to do about Christmas. She'd got two children, and you know, she just couldn't imagine how she was going to be able to buy them anything for Christmas. So, you know, she said I was an angel bringing this sack of toys for them. I've been to places where, you know, they've got absolutely nothing in their house or their flat. You know, no carpets on the floor, no curtains on the window, no furniture. I went one place and the little boy, all he got was a cardboard box to play with. You know, just absolutely nothing. You know, they get provided with accommodation sometimes, but there's nothing in it. You know, no furniture, no anything. And you know, people are living like that today in Reading. You know, but they don't have any sheets. The pups have a mattress on the floor, and the kids don't have any other clothes other than what they go to school in. They just sleep in those, and it's almost like a third world country, and yet it's in Reading. It's happening here in Reading today. It's very scary.
That was Ruth Perkins, fundraising manager for Reading Family Aid. Now the important stuff, how you can help. You can go to the website readingfamilyaid.org and you'll see the Toys and Teens Appeal tab at the top of the page. There's also a tab about how to get involved. And if you go to our show notes, we're going to provide click-through links to the Toys and Teens Appeal plus to a GoFundMe page. Thanks for listening to the RG10 podcast. We do, of course, have plenty of other episodes that you can check out. But if this is the only one you ever listen to, please do share it far and wide, as it could well make a big difference. Goodbye.